Let's try again. And a 5.
All right.
4. 3. 2. 7. 12. Blue, green. 1. Go.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Wayward Dragons. If things sound a little funky today, we're having some technical difficulties. Sorry, I am so tired.
I know, I feel it.
As I say in previous episodes, my job has us working 6 days a week until further notice, and it's damn near impossible to take time off, apparently.
Wow. You're in high demand.
Mentally drained, just a little bit. So if I go on some weird side quests, there actually are some fun ones in with this that are relevant to our thing. But if I go on these weird side quests, just work with it, people. This is going to be an interesting episode.
Yes. Yes, it will be.
To tell you how tired I am, I look like I am stoned, and I am not a stoner. You do.
No, you're not. Yeah. You look like I will be in a couple hours.
My eyes are super bloodshot. They're hard to keep open. The cat decided to continuously boop me in the nose for about 2.5 hours last night. So I got little to no sleep plus massive amounts of work. But that's enough about me. Kelsey, how are you doing? How are things?
I've been okay. My red Carlian bracelet broke today, so, in my car, on my way home, so, I'm really upset about that, but I'm about to pick up a new cat, a new kitten, so, my dad, they had a mail, I think, it dropped off, and before they could neuter him, or spay the 4 females, he got to the females. So we have 4 cats pregnant. 2 have given birth already. So when we go down, because I'm on vacation because it's the 1-year mark of my grandma being gone. So for that day, we're going to go down and pick out a new kitten. Well, my fiance is. He gets to pick this one. So because I've got 3. That I've picked. So. Yeah.
That's fair.
I got that going.
Reading? Oh, yeah, that's about it. I'm just tired. Family stuff. Mainly tired. Have you done any reading? How are you doing on your year challenge?
My Goodreads? So I've hit 28 out of 52, so I'm a little over halfway there. If it will load back up. So I finished, I've been reading the Sigma Force series by, James Rollins. It's a very interesting concept. And you can read them out of order. It's one of those series that the character development's going to make a little bit more sense if you read it in order, but if you don't, they all still make sense. Because I started with book 11, which is Bone Labyrinth. It basically goes into who Adam and Eve were, in terms of us as humans in evolution. So where did the, boom of intelligence happen in terms of, us as a human species? So that was kind of interesting. And then I read the second one, which is Map of Bones, and that involves, it's so complicated, but the bones of the Magi basically are the bones of the 3 wise men, and they get turned into a weapon, and the Pope's involved, and it's really hard to explain. It's a really good series. And then I read The Ritual, which is a movie. I do not recommend the book. That was one of the worst books I've read in a long time. It's one of those books of, like, you go through a whole lot and then nothing happens. Like, you go through so much and then you're just kind of, like, left there. Nothing's resolved. Yeah. Like, nothing. I don't know if the movie's better. I like reading horror. I don't like watching horror. So I'm going to hope that this is one of those moments that, like, the movie's better. And then actually, before we recorded this, I finished And Never Let You Go by Anne Rule. It follows the case of Anna Franley and Tom Capino. He was a high-ranking lawyer in, like, the Delaware, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C. kind of place. And it kind of talks about how manipulative he was as a person. And he kind of controlled a lot of aspects. And unfortunately, a young woman lost her life because she couldn't get free of him. So it follows that court case back in the 90s. But yeah. How about you?
You mean I'm supposed to read? No. So, with the only good part about working over is I do have extra time to listen to audiobooks while I'm working. So that, along with research and all that stuff, actually did finish 6 books over the past 2 weeks.
Look at you. I feel accomplished for, like, finishing 4.
Which means I have 5 more books to meet the year challenge.
What's your year challenge?
It's 1 a week.
Oh, so 52. Gotcha.
Yeah. Set a low bar. So, the first... Well, I'll do this in opposite order from my notes. So the first thing I read was The Light of All That Falls by James Islington. It is the last book in the Lycanthus series. Pretty cool, interesting universe. It's high fantasy. Has to do a little bit with time travel and other things. If you're a high fantasy fan and like something that's big, different, but they are beefy books, I would highly recommend. There's a lot of interesting lore and backstory. All that being said, the ending of the series was predictable to the point where... So, I say it's predictable. I typically pinpoint things before other people. Yeah. There's a lot of people that get mad at me because I don't do it on purpose, but I will predict the ending of movies and TV shows and stuff just because I was the guy who always figured out who the bad guy was in Scooby-Doo before they, like, halfway through the episode.
Yeah.
And
I can see you being that person.
Probably the reason why I'm not a huge true crime fan is just because a lot of the stuff's like, oh, it's obviously this person because of this, and this reason.
But I mean, some of it's predictable, but yeah. Continue.
The other 2 books that I read for pleasure are Siege and Storm and Ruin and Rising, which are by Lee Bardo. And these are the 2nd and 3rd books in the Garisha series. For anyone who has watched the... I want to say Blood and Bone is the series on Netflix. But it is the books that... The book series is the are the books that that series is based off of. They've only done the first book into the show thus far.
Gotcha.
Interesting world, interesting lore... Certain people are born with abilities as Garisha, which basically they're, some cultures say they're like evil witches and stuff, and others are like, hey, you guys are magical, you automatically have to work for the government and do stuff. So you have like summoners who can summon like fire, wind, and stuff. You have healers who can, you know the intricacy of the bodies and heal stuff. And there's a whole lore there involving someone many, many, many years ago who was the only dark summoner, and split a country in half with this, they call it the Veil, and it's this massive dark cloud with these evil creatures that live inside of it. And there's a legend of a sun summoner that'll be born that's the only one who can defeat the Veil, and one thing happens after another. Strong female lead, of course. One thing happens after another, and things evolve. I can't really say without giving spoilers, but again, there is a bit of predictability in it, but still enjoyable. It's young adult romance, middle fantasy series.
Okay.
The other three books I read are all sources for today's episode, which are The Scottish Fairy Book by Elizabeth Grierson, Modern Witchcraft Guide to Fairies by Skye Alexander, and Fairies by Morgan Daimler. I think that's how you pronounce it. Daimler.
Sure.
Dimler.
That sounds right.
Could be French. I don't know. So yes, this week we are talking about those tricksy folk, the, you know, the good neighbors, the fae, the fairy, which I'll get to why I'm not going to use that any further in this episode, that word, in a little bit. But the wee folk, the good neighbors, which I think I already said that. Mogwai. Yes, like in Gremlins.
Okay.
And the Joha. So, what are these things? How are they different? How are they the same? So, as I said, this week's episode, we're going to kind of be building off of last week's episode where we talked about tricksters.
Yeah.
So we're going to be building off of that a little bit. So one of the most popular things in culture for a trickster is today's topic. Most notably, you see it in, you see them in a lot of, in the Western world, in movies such as Tinkerbell and Ferngully. In TV shows such as Lost Girl, True Blood, and in books such as the Iron Druid Chronicles and the Tufa series. The Iron Druid Chronicles, amazing, amazing book series by Kevin Herndon. And then the Tufa series is an amazing book series by Alex Bledsoe.
Okay.
That's the one, the Tufa series is the one about the fairies that live in the Appalachian.
Okay. Okay.
And the Iron Druid Chronicles is a series about a 2,000 plus year old druid who is hiding from the fairy, or the, I just said it, damn it. He's hiding from particular members of the Tuatha De Dana. You know, there's a particular reason why he's hiding where he's hiding, but freaking awesome series. Hey, it actually goes into a lot of, so random side quest here, it goes into a lot of like different mythologies, and that's one of the things I love about it, is because so he takes it like in one book, there's a demon, and so he's like, well fuck, there, I gotta kill this demon that's flying over the city. So he goes to this elderly lady who's Catholic, and she's like, hey, can you imagine the Virgin Mary? You know, like, what do you think she would look like? And imagine her, like, helping out someone, say, on the street corner. So she imagines her there. So he goes and visits, and hey, the Virgin Mary's there because, you know, things exist how we perceive them. The gods exist how we perceive them. So he goes and talks to her and asks her to bless some arrows because he's going to shoot this demon down. And he's like, hey, next time your son's in town. And this is an Irish pagan. Hmm. And he's, you know, over 2,000. He's like, next time your son's in town, you know, tell him to hit me up and we'll have a drink. And so in, like, the next book, Jesus shows up and he's like, hey, my mom said you wanted to get drinks. So he takes Jesus to an Irish pub and they do shots of whiskey.
All right.
And then
that
in a later
sounds
book,
like an interesting book series.
Then in a later book, Jesus shows up where he was imagined or basically manifested by a Mexican woman. And so he's a Mexican. He brings the main character a bottle of tequila and they drink shots of tequila.
All right. That sounds like a
But I mean, it's
party.
Like it goes. Yeah, it goes through all sorts of pantheons. He has a talking dog.
Okay.
Who? Well, it is technically the dog doesn't talk. He communicates telepathically with the dog, but the dog is one of the best characters in the series. Yeah. So it's fun. It's an interesting series. It, like I said, goes through a lot of different things. Where are we at here? The side quest.
I don't even have the notes open.
Yeah. So these little creatures even caught the attention of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who,
yeah,
for those of you who do not know, is the individual who wrote the Sherlock books.
Yes.
He also wrote. I could have actually reread that because I have a book of his that he wrote on the subject matter. But you know, he was a huge occultist.
Yes.
And all that. So we have some sort of idea as to what these creatures are. But typically a lot of the stuff we see comes from or that are addressed as such directly as the Fae come from Celtic or European or certain parts of European. There are many, many others types that actually exist all around the world in basically every mythology.
Yes.
Yeah. So, the word fairy is actually one that apparently many folk do not use because they believe that it is offensive to the Fae folk and that you can actually piss them off and instill their wrath. The most common etymology or most commonly believed etymology is that it comes from the title of the fair folk, and it just kind of gets shorted down to that. So this is one of the many titles that exists in Scotland, Ireland, and Wales that is used. There's a crap ton of others, such as, like I said, the good neighbors, the wee folk. Ultimately, they are beings of some sort of power or manifestation that appear in our world. That come from another world. From a scientific standpoint, they have varying vibrational frequencies, which is why they can appear in our world and kind of phase in and out. At least that's the thought behind it. Because, you know, things vibrate at different frequencies. There's some belief that they simply exist on a higher frequency than us, so they can interact with our world, but not necessarily if they want to be seen or by certain individuals who are able to be seen, can see them, but it's not something that based off of what we have, scientifically speaking, we can just detect.
So, like, multi-dimensional.
Yeah, extra-dimensional beings is basically what it comes down to. And a lot of the myths and everything, you know, not just from the Celtic and Anglo-Saxon mythologies, but, I mean, you go Norse, you go Native American, you go Chinese and Japanese. Yes, you're giving me a weird look. Yes, we'll get into that in a little bit. But... No, a lot of these have similar stories as far as the behavior of these beings, how they cross over, how they appear, people going to the land where these beings exist. Time does not function the same between the two dimensions, so, you know, you have stories and myths where someone will go and dance with the fair folk and the I almost said it.
You did.
Dance with
I
the fair
you catch
folk
yourself.
And the in the ring, like the
mushroom
like the
ring.
Fey rings.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, they think it's just a couple hours, but they came back out and it's been 7 years.
Yeah.
And you know, there's situations and stuff like that. So, while we think of them as little cute beings, not all of them are.
No.
There are some that are rather scary, grotesque. And of course, we can see them as cute if they put up like a, they call it a glamour. But,
yeah,
according to myths, but not necessarily cute. There are so many freaking types. So, of course, most people know of things like brownies, which will take it and help clean your home, and you should leave out offerings. If you have a brownie in your home, it is suggested that you leave out... Actually, I think I get into that a little bit further. Do I get into that a little bit further? I do not. So, if you have brownies in your home, you should not acknowledge the fact that you have brownies in your home.
No.
You should not thank the brownies. You should not give thanks at all. What you should do is leave out, like, a small thing of milk and maybe pastry or bread or something like that. And the belief is that, you know, some of them will eat it, but the belief is that they'll absorb the essence from it. And yeah, there's a whole belief that, you know, if you wrong these individuals, they can actually spoil the food, like your crops and stuff, because they will absorb the essence from it.
Okay.
Basically, it'll have no nutritional value. There's a lot of blights that have been through history that have been associated with people angering or treading where they should not be. Another popular belief that is kind of not exactly true is that, oh, these things exist because they want to send us a message, and they want to send us a message saying, hey, take care of nature, and blah, 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 blah. But reality is that as long as we're not fucking with their shit, a lot of them don't
care.
They
won't mess with us. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, you should still not mess up nature, but that's
yeah.
Neither here nor there.
Yeah. So would you leave the offering
out in your
house?
Yeah, just leave it out overnight, or you know,
or like outside.
Or if you have a special place, you know, typically like a tall shelf or something that you could put it on. If you have some in your, if you have just fey folk in your area that you want to leave an offering to, you could do that as well. Just figure out where they are to leave the offering. But if you're going to do that, you also need to make sure that when you're leaving, it's not harmful to anything in the area.
Yes.
So, like, if you have wild cats, you obviously don't want to leave out certain foods because, hey, the wild cat could get it and it could be harmful for it.
Yeah.
So you need to think responsibly there. Some other creatures that actually fall into this category that are fairly well known are banshees. Have you heard of a banshee?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, banshees are technically a member of this family. Kobolds.
Don't know what that is.
Kobolds, it's kind of become popularized for D&D. D&D depicts them as like lizard folk, but they're actually similar to goblins. Goblins are another one here, but they're a type of fae that are extremely mischievous and can cause havoc. Imps being another one. Pixies, who are pranksters. Leprechauns are technically a type of fae.
Okay.
Gnomes.
Okay.
And Selkies. You know what a Selkie is?
No clue.
So, Selkies are a type of fae that... Do I get into this further in the notes? I keep having to check here. No. Okay, so Selkies are a type of fae that typically will look like a seal.
Okay.
And they are actually people, they're fae, but they will come to land and take off their seal skin and hide it and walk amongst people. Well, the whole thing is that if you, and there's actually myths and legends of this, but if you catch a Selkie changing and find out where they hid their seal skin, getting tongue-tied here, you can actually get
that
it.
That sounds like a hard set of words to say.
You can get it, the Selkie seal skin.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it and hide it and force the Selkie to marry you. There's myths and legends of this.
What? Okay.
Yeah. Myths and legends of this. So there's also a belief amongst some people that the Fae are actually fallen angels and or demons.
Okay.
Some of the examples of this are going to be in the things below. So some of the little people throughout the world, the wee people. You have the Johog, or drum dancers, which is a thing in certain Native American tribes. They're referred to as little people in the Iroquois. They are usually invisible, and you'll hear them if you hear like drums or anything like that, and you don't see anything.
Okay.
They also leave rings of bare earth and bows of stone or mud. Offerings like tobacco and fingernails can be put in these bowls. So I will say this. If you want to work with any sort of fae, you want to leave offerings for any sort of fae, go for it. I would not recommend just giving a part of yourself, whether it be your hair, your nail clippings, your teeth, your blood, because if you're gonna do something like that, you need to think awful hard. There's serious implication, regardless of the type of fae.
It's like I feel like you shouldn't be doing that in general.
Well, depending on what you're doing, and
yeah,
It's one of those things, if you know what you're doing and you know the seriousness of what you're doing, there is serious magic there.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't just do it for the sake of doing it.
Yeah. That just sounds like a very bad idea. Like, very bad. Like an episode of Supernatural just like waiting to happen. Like, just saying.
So they're also used to explain disembodied lights, and bad luck. When people usually see them, usually it's children, the elderly, spiritual healers. They are described as knee-high to around 4 foot tall.
Okay.
They love games and playing tricks, which can be dangerous because they will literally do stuff that they find funny, even though technically it may not be funny to you.
Yeah.
And that's a kind of one of the common threads as well with every sort, is that they'll do like little mischievous things, and you know, while they may find it funny, it might not necessarily be funny to you because it could be something as simple as like tripping you or hiding your keys.
Mm-hmm.
They love to take shiny shit and hide it. Staying in the Americas, moving down to Mexico, and I'm going to butcher this so bad. You have the Canaques. They're small elf or pixie-like beings in south and south to southeast Mexico, especially Veracruz and parts of Oaxaca. Their name derives from the Nahuatl, N-A-H-U-A-T-L.
No clue.
Term Okan Konich, meaning those who dwell in the dangerous place. They seem to have originally been guardian spirits of craggy mountains, woods, springs, caves, etc. Today they are usually described as having an appearance of toddlers with wrinkly faces like an old person. They are known to hide things, get people lost, and sometimes throw stones at people. So there's a term that has shown up multiple times in doing my research for different things, called Feyled. And basically that's another thing they'll do, is they'll fuck with you. So like, say you're going somewhere, they'll mm-hmm. make it seem way longer than what it should be for you to get there, or they will lead you astray even if you know exactly where you're going and get you lost.
Nice. That sounds like
horrible. Now, moving to the other side of the world, in Asia, you have the Chinchin Kobakama, which is a Japanese house creature that prefers the home to be kept clean. That's another one that's fairly consistent through all things, is they prefer cleanliness. While they act chaotic, they prefer to keep houses and things clean.
Okay.
Specifically, an organized chaos. These guys specifically like the floor. If it's clean, they will bless your home. If it's not clean, the residents are lazy, the fairy will pick on the home's inhabitants with no regard. So basically, they'll be dicks to people if they don't have clean houses.
Okay.
They look like tiny, wizened elves, but are surprisingly energetic and spry. There is actually an old tale of where a woman is tormented by little men who live in the carpet when her husband lashes out at them. They turn into toothpicks. So basically they fuck around until he like yells at them and they hide as toothpicks. So another thing in Asia is the Mogwai, like in Gremlins.
Okay.
These things are often referred to as demons, but their characteristics technically put them in the category of the Fae.
They will
humorously inflict harm on people, so they'll do it in a way they find humorous. They are said to reproduce sexually during mating season, triggered by the coming rain. In other words, you get more of them when they get wet.
Just like gremlins.
No, that's literally where they get it from. That's literally where they get it from.
That's messed up.
Basically, they typically do this. They mate at this time because supposedly they feel that the rain beckons significant riches and full times ahead.
Okay.
The term mole derives from the Sanskrit mora, meaning evil being. In Hinduism and Buddhism, mara determines fates of death and desire that determines where people go in their cycle of reincarnation based off their suffering.
So the
Guai.
Determine?
Well, no. This is the Mora.
Okay.
The word. He's a god.
Oh, got it.
Meanwhile, while Guai does not necessarily mean evil or demonic spirit, classically, it simply means deceased spirit or soul of the dead. Nevertheless, in modern Chinese, it has evolved into referring to usually to dead spirit or ghosts of non-family members that may take vengeance on the family. So, one of the things that come up a lot in different places is that there's stories of individuals who have died who are later seen in the company of these beings.
Okay.
And this is like, but this is just the Fae in general. You have this all around the world where, you know, someone has died, they'll, or they're believed to have been dead, and they'll be with the Fae.
Yeah.
So knockers. Knockers are from Cornish origin. They're typically Fae. They're the type of Fae that is heard all over the world. Some people don't believe that they are Fae, but frighten ghosts and spirits instead. They come and they knock on things and, you know, basically be super annoying. They're the sounds you hear knocking deep in caves and caverns.
In mines.
Yep.
You hear
they
a lot of
try to scare off miners. There's actually.
Yep.
Yeah. And so basically,
they're
little pranksters.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Serious.
So things overall, there's a shit ton more different types of Fae out there, but overall that the Fae love. First off, they love having fun. Like I said, while some of the things may not be fun to us or funny to us, they enjoy it. They also love food. Leave offerings for food. Yeah, like milk, cake, honey, bread, sweets, stuff like that. That being said, there are some types of Fae that actually enjoy meat. And there's certain places that they will actually place when they have a fire They would place a piece of meat in it for the Fae. That way the essence of the meat can reach the Fae.
Okay.
So it would be best to learn about the Fae that is in your area. As with all things, when people travel, their culture travels with them. And, you know, that's why a lot of, like, you know, I go back to Appalachia because born and raised, well, not really born, but that's where I was raised. But as most of my family's from there,
yeah.
Or at least my mom's half. But I digress. Anyways, you have, you know, a lot of Fae influence, and you have, or Fae influence, you have a lot of Celtic influence and a lot of Celtic Fae
mm-hmm.
and stuff there because of them. So things that they hate. So typically they're not a big fan of iron. Yes, this is a thing that's been pushed and prodded and everything. It's old. They don't like iron. They don't like iron. A lot of them do not. I'd say probably about 2/3 of them, based off stories and myths, that do not like iron. That being said, there are so many different types. There's nothing as 100%. It's estimated that probably about 2/3 of them out there don't like iron. They do not like certain plants, such as marigold and St. John's wort. Yes, St. John's wort, the herbal mood stimulizer thing.
Nice.
I have a bit of a theory on why they don't like St. John's wort. If you want to hear it.
I'm intrigued. Why
so, so the Fae in any incarnation typically are very polar with their emotions. They're super
yeah.
happy, careful, or super pissed off. There's like a very thin line. Well, St. John's wort, from a scientific standpoint, is a mood stabilizer.
Yeah.
So they live on the extremes. They live on the
yep.
extremes. You don't get the extremes.
Makes sense.
They do not like salt. Again, you see that like Supernatural, a bunch of other stuff, but that is a
oh,
whole
yeah.
thing with cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
But they typically do not like salt, especially in food. So
okay.
I have an interesting historical story that could possibly be Fae, but there's other possibilities of what could have caused it.
Okay.
Have you ever heard the story of the Green Children of Woolpit, England?
Yes.
So, I'll kind of go through it for our listeners. I think this is fascinating.
It is.
So, in 12th century, some weird shit happened, guys. And the village of Woolpit in England, there were two children that mysteriously showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the version of the story, they were either found in caves or they were found in the wolf pits. They would take it. There was a big farming community, and they would build pitfalls to capture wolves.
Yes.
There was a girl and a boy. The girl was older.
Mm-hmm.
While this in itself isn't unusual because of, you know, the time period, and you had a lot of people losing family members because of sickness and everything else.
Yeah.
These children had on strange clothing that was a weird color.
Mm-hmm.
That's not entirely the weird part. They also spoke a language that no one understood.
Mm-mm.
It gets weirder.
Mm-hmm.
They were green.
Yep, like Jolly Green Giant Green.
So the people in the village, you know, tried to feed the kids all sorts of food. They refused to eat anything until they were offered fava beans.
Mm-hmm.
and like you just jumped into the notes for a second or something. I don't know. It, like,
I closed my version down.
Okay. So
sorry.
No, it's fine. It was just the cursor moved and I was like, what's going on?
No, I closed out of them. You're fine.
So they're taken in by a man named Richard DeCallum? Who taught them over time to speak English and eventually got them to eat other foods. After a time of eating other foods, they ended up losing their green skin tint. But he was able to get some communication out of them after they learned some English. Found out they were siblings. The girl told him that they were from a land where there was no sun.
Mm-hmm.
And the sky looked like twilight.
Yep.
They described the homeland as perpetually green. And that there was a river dividing their land from a neighboring land that shone bright light. She referred to the place as St. Martin's Land. According to her, there were a shit ton of churches, like Christian churches there, like there are in England. They didn't know really how they got to England. The last thing they remembered, according to stories, is that they were herding cattle with their father, and there's two contradicting stories that are out there, one of which is that they just kind of blanked out and woke up in the where they were, and the other one was that they followed the cattle into a cave, got lost in the cave, and walked out of the cave in England.
Yeah.
So, caves, waters, waterfalls, rivers, stuff like that are typically seen as portals.
Yes.
So yes. There's a theory that that may be it. There's also a theory that, you know, they were just, I want to say Denmark, but that's, don't know if that's right. There's a lot of immigration from the Scandinavian countries because of the new king up there was being a dick, and the king of England didn't like it, so he was having them killed, and there was a possibility that that's why they didn't speak English and they only spoke some other languages, that they could have been Danish. That's a theory. There's also the theory that they were fairies. I just said it. Damn it. I did so good.
It's hard.
I was doing so good.
You did. You did. It's okay.
It's but yeah. Okay. So we will probably never know.
No.
Unless we build a time machine and go back and ask them. So.
It's not a bad idea. Not a bad
idea. You guys build a time machine, let me know. I'm going to come with.
Yes. Oh yeah. For sure.
Nothing ever gets fucked up from time travel, guys.
Nah. It's okay though.
So the next couple weeks we're gonna be talking about some stuff that I would love to do right now, and that is dreaming.
Yes. Yeah. We're gonna take a couple episodes to talk about dreams.
Need sleeps. Yeah, so we're gonna talk about dreams and different interpretations, how dreams kind of affect some cultures, some myths revolving dreams, some symbolism in dreams, and
mm-hmm.
all that stuff. We're thinking it's probably going to be 2, maybe 3 episodes.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
You guys will be able to come and hear my dreamy voice. I know I sound as tired as I feel. That was...
Yeah. Just a little.
It's not like I have a sultry voice.
That was
hey,
weird.
Don't you,
do that again.
Why don't you come over and listen to us talk about some dreams and stuff.
You're a mess.
You got dreams, girl.
Oh, you're a mess. You're a mess.
So I'm going to go take a nap.
I was like, yeah. So,
yeah. Kelsey, before we do that, what are your thoughts on fairies? Like, do you believe in the fae folk, the fair folk, the good neighbors?
I believe that there are little creatures out there that we don't know and can't see.
So, and yes, you're just not giving them a title.
Yeah. Because there's so many different names. But there's a lot of things that we don't understand about our world. And if there are multi-dimensional beings, then how can we know for sure that they're real or not?
Yep.
Like, I can't say they're not real, because I've never seen one. So, they're... until I've been disproven, I'm going to make a giant assumption that they're real.
That's fair enough. You want to tell the folks where to find us?
Yeah, we have a Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Twitter's backwards, so it's Dragons Wayward. Everything else is the Wayward Dragons. If we messed up in any way, if we have an episode suggestion or story, if you encountered a fae folk, you can email us at thewaywarddragons@gmail.com. Just know that if you're interacting with us on social media, you're interacting with me. If you send an email, you are talking to Johnny. Just letting everybody know. But yeah, tell a friend, share on Facebook, Instagram. Oh, you can't do it on Instagram, but you can share the pictures and stuff that I post on Facebook. I'm about an episode behind. Yeah. I'll be posting pictures of my new kitten.
Yes.
I'm excited. I want the one with eyebrows, but I doubt I'll be able to get that one. So.
My brain is not prepared for that kind of conversation right now. I was going to ask how the hell cats don't have eyebrows, but I'm not coherent enough for that conversation. I am way too tired.
She looks like she's got...
I was like, you can send me a picture.
I'll just scroll real quick. She looks like she's got... Can you see that? How her fur is colored?
Well, the fur is a different color.
Looks like she's got angry eyebrows.
It's her fur's different color. That makes more sense.
Yeah. Sorry. But knowing my look, that one's probably already taken. So. But yeah. Until next time.
I'm Johnny.
Bye.
Bye.
You're a mess.